Good morning to everyone. My voice is a little bit otherwise this morning. So if you don't know me, my name is Jimmy. I don't normally talk like this. I'm not about to break out into a song of Barry White in any form or manner. So I hope that you guys extend a bit of grace to me as I try and make my way through this. Today is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, for people that are here today, Lord, that they do not feel like rejoicing, do not feel like being glad, Lord, let this word come and minister to them. Let this word come and stir up their faith. Let this word, by your Spirit, Lord, do a work in a twinkling of an eye that would take people many, many years to get. Because this is all by your Spirit. It's all for your glory. It is all you, Lord. You changed us from glory to glory, Lord. You are altogether beautiful. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to take up your offering for this morning, we have always said that we're not giving out of any form of compulsion, but we will be not a tearful giver, a cheerful giver, as some people have said. And so, we are only sowing for one reason, I believe, and that's for His kingdom. We have been touched. Oh, here's a plectrum. So I thought it was manna from heaven. I was like, I'll put this over here. So now we're only being given for one. We're giving for one reason, is that our lives have been so impacted by the gospel of grace. And I don't know about you, but every time I give, I want to see this message continue out, because there are so many people living in bondage, so many people living under condemnation, feel like they're not worthy before God, that they actually are, even those that don't know Him ever, have never ever met the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to see this message being propagated throughout Durban. And if it takes money, it takes you, listen to me again, it takes you to go out into the workplace. When you're transformed, when you've been changed, you can't help yourself but share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to pray for your seed that you're sowing, because I'm trusting God for many more people to come into the kingdom of heaven through the preaching of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So take your seed. There's people in there that are going to be the beneficiaries of your seed. It's not just money, it's not just light, it's not just what, it's none of that. It really is people at the end of your giving. Let's pray for that. Lord, we bring our seed before you, and you said, whatever we sow, we want to reap. Lord, we're sowing because of the gospel. Not out of duty, not a compulsion. We know, Lord, that there's no curses that will come upon us. Lord, tithing, we're giving. We're not tithing, we're giving, Lord, because we see that you are able to do so much more with this finance, with these finances than we ever hope to do in our own care. So, Lord, we're giving it, sowing it, and we want to see good return on this seed. For every single person that's done this electronically and this morning, would you bless the seed? Would you bless the sowers, Lord? In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks to the ushers. I'm going to be getting on into my word straight away. This time last year, I was really wrestling with God. And I was wrestling with Him. I was saying, Lord, why am I not seeing the stories in the Bible coming to life? Why are we not seeing people walking on water? Why are we not seeing people being healed? Why are we not seeing breakthrough? I'm obeying your word as best as I can, and still there's nothing happening. There must be something wrong. What is wrong with me? Because there couldn't be anything wrong with God. Then the message of grace came, and it challenged me. My beliefs in a big way. I'm grateful that God gave me my mind, because I like to wrestle with something with my heart and with my mind. And when I've settled it, I believe it with a conviction very few people have to sway. And so I'd wrestled with my heart and with my mind, but the only thing that I was left with was this truth, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My sins were imputed to Jesus, and His righteousness was imputed to me. I couldn't believe that previously, that I could get it so wrong. How could I have got it so wrong that I felt like, if I could just do something a little bit more, God, then you would be happy, and then you would flow with these answering these prayers. And I wrestled and I wrestled and I wrestled, and to the point of where I actually came and I realized that I was trying to earn my forgiveness, that I was able to slip from God's good side and then be on His bad side by my behavior, And I realized that that was a thing of the past. Those thoughts. That right now, I can't slip from his good side to his bad side. Because Jesus did pay. He paid, overpaid my sins. That I could never ever have God smiling upon me in 1 minute be upset with me. That I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And over the last few months, we've heard sermons about our position in Christ. And we've heard others just recently urging us to walk into our destiny, our purpose in life. Urging us to dream so big and that God has purposed in our hearts talents that are waiting to be birthed. And some people have had dreams, but they've just seemed so big that you don't have the faith for it. You're like, no, this dream that I've got is just, it's too big. And I don't even know where to start. So I don't even know where to take my first step. And some people don't even have any dreams. They're saying, I don't know what everyone else is on about this purpose, about greatness, about destiny. I don't know what it is. I've been wrestling with God and I don't know what I should be doing. And there's other people who are going, what's happened? I don't know what's going on. This morning, I wanted to wrestle with this one question. Why do some people, speaking specifically about Christians, why do some people, worshippers, cell leaders, businessmen, feel insignificant and just fulfill the duties, just going through the motions? You might be at work and you feel like, I'm just going through the motions. I feel insignificant. My life doesn't have any significant meaning. And feel like there's no life in my expression, in the way that I live my life. There's really no outstanding meaning and purpose in my life, and I'm just going through the motion. So I want to start off with my first point. Our right standing position. And we're going to be going through some scriptures. If you have your Bible with you, please take it up. There's going to be an NIV translation coming up, but I want you to read it for yourself in your own translation if you have a preference to that. Otherwise, you can just look up in the top here, we can read together. Because what I'm about to share with you, you will probably agree with me, but it will take a lot longer before you actually believe it yourself. It sounds a bit of a contradiction there, but wait until you hear what I mean. Because you will agree with me, no, that is true, but I don't really believe it. It's not the essence of who I am. So as we go through these scriptures, wrestle with them yourself. Wrestle with them and say, I agree with this, but I'm not entirely convinced for my own life. Let's start off with our right standing position. John 3:16. See, it is all our position in Jesus Christ is completely based on right believing and not right doing. Let me say it again. Your position in Jesus Christ is all about right believing and not right doing. And we can see here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one only son that whoever, say it like you're going to agree with this, but then it's going to take a while of confession of your mouth before you actually believe it. So that whoever works hard, whoever confesses all their sins, whoever does all the right things, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It seems too easy. It seems way too easy. But God did. He did all the work that it could be as easy as possible for us to be in right standing with him. Romans 4 verses 4 to 5. Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Mark 9:23. And Jesus said to him, if you can. This man has just been asked, has just asked Jesus, and he said, can you please heal? If you can heal, could you please heal my demon-possessed child? And Jesus replies, if I can? Everything is possible for him who believes. Jesus wasn't just talking about salvation. Jesus was talking about an outworking of the gifts, about deliverance, about favor, about where you are right now. Everything is possible for whoever believes. So what is the problem then if we're not seeing these miracle signs and wonders break through in your business realm, in your place where you're working, in your families where you've got kids that are just constantly swimming upstream? Where is the breakthrough? And I really believe with my whole heart that it comes by us believing right. And Jesus himself said, everything is possible for him who believes. I wanted to recap our right standing with our position in Jesus Christ because it is crucial on the way the next couple of points that we're going forward. The second one is our right standing with God results in faith. We know that faith alone pleases God. That's the only thing that he's pleased by. Let's all turn to Exodus 33, verses 12. Moses has just gone up the mountain and he's meeting with the Lord. And such a special passage is. We're going to be reading Exodus 33, 12 to 19. I'm going to be reading from my translation here, and you can read it up on the top if you want. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight." How's that, eh? God says, I know you by name, and I'm favoring you. A lot of people have said, I'm not too sure about God's favor. I know that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but I don't know so much about if God really wants to favor me. Does he really want to favor me in my home life? Does he really want to favor me in my business, in my ministry? I'm not too sure. And God says, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. So Moses continues. He says, now therefore, if I have... See, he's not entirely convinced himself. He says, if I have found favor in your sight. He doesn't... He's heard God say it, and he agrees with what God's saying, but he doesn't entirely believe it. And that's where many of us are today. We have heard God saying, you are my righteousness, and we've heard God saying, I want to favor you, but we don't really believe it. We've got lots of faith for the person to your left and to your right. Look to your left and to your right. You got lots of. Look at those pretty people that are next to you there. You got faith that God would. God loves you. Look at you. God loves you, and he wants to favor you. You got faith for them, but when you look inside, you go, "Ooh, that's poofy sin." God wouldn't really want to favor me. He knows what I'm thinking. I don't deserve it. I'm just not of the same caliber as these people. Right? We agree that God wants to, but we don't actually believe it. So he's contending with God. He says, now therefore, if I have, please show me now your ways, that I might know you in order to find favor in your sight. Now God's already said, I want to favor you. Here he is busy wrestling with God saying, show me your ways, then I know that I can find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. He's standing before God and he's whining. These are your people. These are your people. Are they not mine? I didn't give birth to them. The stiff-necked people, constantly battling with them. This is your people, God. You must sort it out. And God replies very graciously, says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. You hear that prophetic word this morning about people striving, stressing, straining? God's saying to you this morning, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. He's saying to me, what I've got in store for you in the future is not an uphill battle. You're thinking of your vision, your dream, or even you don't even have a dream yet. It won't be an uphill battle. He says to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring this up from here, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in you going with us that we are so distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of this earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Whoa, that is beautiful. Hey? When you hear this scripture, don't just agree with the person for your left and your right. Take it a hold of it for yourself. Because the relationship that we have with our Father is far more intimate. Far more intimate. He lives within us. Moses says this very next thing. Please show me your glory. Now God's got this blank canvas. What is God going to do? What's he going to do? Is he going to walk before Moses and show him in the palm of his hand all creation, all universes spiraling around, massive forces in contention within his hand? What's he going to do? Is he going to show how just he is and walk past judging those with a sword? What would God do? He said, please show me your glory. Is he going to walk past him beaming light, energy? What is God going to do? He's got an open canvas here to start. What's the first thing he's going to show him? Is he going to show him, let me just show you all the multitude of angels that follow me, and we'll do this grand procession in front of you. Then you will know that I'm with you and you have found favor in my sight. This beautiful passage of scripture, very next, will stir your faith like you won't believe. Exodus 33:19. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. So God's got this blank canvas and he says, Lord, show me your glory. And God says to him, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you how good I am. What does that do to your faith? When all of God's goodness comes before you, it says later on that Moses fell down and worshipped him. Not because he had a mental assent that God is worthy of worship. Not because he was struck with fear. It's because he was overcome by all of God's goodness. We just read in Exodus 33:16 says, for how shall I know? So how shall it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in you going with us that we are so distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of this earth? And I see in Matthew 1, don't turn there, just let me read it to you. Matthew 1:22-23, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Say that again. God's with us. You see, in the Hebrew culture, they understood that if God is with you, you are going to be highly favored, because all of his goodness has an outworking when he is right standing with you. God with us. See, his word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we read these passages over and over again. But we get out of bed and something goes wrong. That's what the Bible says, we need to renew our mind daily of our position. Not of our purpose. Oh, I've got to get out, got to go to work, got to kick the dog, got to sort the kids out, got to go do, got to go run around, got to... No! Get out of bed. This thing's got a little faulty. Because you agree with these passages, but you've just stopped believing it. Say, hang on, God's in me. He's with me. He's for me. He's not against me. Every other passage of scripture that speaks about God being with people, it says, because I'm going with you, you'll be so highly favored, you'll be different from everybody else. The third point I want to bring across is our right standing with God results in effortless... Let me say this again. Our right standing with God results in effortless expression. You don't have to try hard. It just happens. 2 Samuel 6:10-12. David was getting the Ark of the Covenant. And let's read. It says, so David was not willing to take the Ark of the Lord into the city of David. Why? Because someone had just reached out, touched it, and died. So David's going, hey, I didn't sign up for this. This isn't part of the agreement. I just wanted to get the Ark back into my city. And now all of a sudden, God, you're killing people. What's up with that? You know, I thought we had a good thing going here. I was trying to help you out. Now you're going to strike this guy dead. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Can you imagine Obed? He's just heard this is what's happened. And David walks in, king says, I'm just dropping this off here. Hey, ooh, hang on a sec. My neighbor, he's far more qualified to look after this than I am. He was a Levite. And so it says, and the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. 3 months. Wow. Come on, David. Couldn't you have got your act together within 3 months? You're the king after all. You could recruit as many people, get the Levites, get your act together, and get it back home. No, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom, just him, right? Because that's as much as God can do. No. He blessed him and all his household. See, when the Lord is with you, you're not just blessed, those around you are blessed as well. And it was told to King David, the Lord has blessed this household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. And David then had a conviction that he should do the right thing and get the ark back home, right? No. David heard, oh, there's blessings going on over there, him and all his household. So David said, whoop, I better go sort this out quick because I want in on that action, right? He said, I want some of that too. Because straight afterwards it says here, so. Straight after this, he was told this, blessing was going on, so David then did this. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with rejoicing. Because he knew where God is and with his right standing, his people are going to be so blessed and so favored. He had a reason to rejoice. They all had a reason to rejoice. Not because the right thing was being done, but because where the presence of God is, there is favor. Genesis 39:2. I hope you're starting to believe this now. Genesis 39:2 onwards. The Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man because the Lord was with him. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master, who we know is Potiphar, he's a non-believer. He doesn't believe in the Lord. Saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. You're sitting at work and you're not entirely convinced that God wants to really bless you, favor you. How could he do this? When you start to notice that everything that you touch turns. You know, you have those days where everything just goes so well. You get home and you just... There's other days where everything you touch just turns to rubbish. I want more of those days, which says that everything I touched is successful in what I did. So Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. See, Joseph, the Bible says, Joseph was successful. And so often we sit in the pits and in the prison in our own lives and we're saying, shh. Lord, maybe you didn't quite get the passage where he was in the pits, or when his brothers abandoned him, or you didn't quite get the passage where he was in prison. And the prisons back then weren't like they were nowadays, where if you pay the guard a little bit extra, you could get out of Wessel Prison and make a quick getaway. It's not like today. Prisons then were hectic. But the Bible says that Joseph was successful. He wasn't successful because of what he had. He was successful because of who he had. The Lord is with us. And you're saying, Jimmy, this is all Old Testament scriptures. Let me show you something. John 15 from 4 and 5. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Question. How much effort does a branch have to do to bear fruit? Or is it really effortless? Just because it's in the vine, it bears fruit. Jesus was speaking about if you meditate, if you think on, if you renew your mind about your position, you're in me, I'm in you. We're in each other. You can't help but bear fruit. See, I want to say, if you're running around, what am I supposed to do with my life? I must get a dream. I must get a purpose. I must run around. Stop. When you spend all your time renewing your mind about who you are in Christ Jesus, this will happen by accident. But what's happened? I'm highly favored. Everything I touch turns to gold. I happen to be promoted again. I happen to be starting up my own business and things are going, wow. Everything I'm studying, I just seem to remember. Don't spend your time running around looking after purpose. You could possibly, I'm not saying you will, there's a possibility you could slip into works. I'm just going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. No. Jesus says, abide in me. From apart from me, you can't bear any good works. Just spend your time here with me. When you're in here with me, this will happen by accident. You'll look around and things will have happened and your heart wouldn't have had to strive or worry or stress in the least because it's your effortless expression. I was loving standing here this morning and Robbie, all the notices is going on and Robbie is completely oblivious to everything that's going on. His eyes are closed and he's meditating on his position in Christ Jesus. Lord, you're altogether beautiful. You're wonderful. Look at how you've changed my life. He's just spending his time in here. So when he gets up to sing, he's not trying to be the best worshiper he can. It's just an effortless expression of him just having spent all his time renewing his mind about his position. God said he will always be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Emmanuel, God with us. I was always aware that kids had the anti-anointing. You know what the anti-anointing is? You're sitting down and you're worshiping God and the next one you get the in the back of your chair and God just left. He just sucked up all the anointing. Can you believe it? Stupid kids. That's it. You guys are going there and you're not coming out until we're finished worshiping God again. Take me 20 minutes to get back into the presence. That's right, eh? Children have got the anti-anointing. No, they don't. Because when you get that kick in the back of your chair, it takes you half a second to bring you back to your position in Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm in you. You're in me. You are for me, not against me. I am righteous because you have imputed me righteousness. The next minute, like that, you're back where you were, even deeper than you were before, in his presence. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? What things was he just talking about? He was just talking about that we are adopted as sons, that we are redeemed, that God is working all things together for our good. He says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? You guys are agreeing with it, and I can see some people smiling because you're starting to believe it now. But then he goes straight back on. He's just been preaching about position. And then he jumps over for a split second saying purpose is going to happen by accident because if God is for us, who can be against us? He's graciously given us his son. How much more would he not give us all things? And he jumps back again and he says, position. It's all about what Jesus has done. If you could have done something to get rid of your sin, to get ahead in life. If you could have done anything, then the scriptures wouldn't have said, The elders threw down their crowns at the feet of Jesus. And, oh, I don't remember. We've got to give one to Brad. It says all the glory goes to Him. He is the vine. He is worthy of all the glory because without Him we can do nothing. But because of Him, the Lamb who was slain, altogether beautiful. Spend your time during the course of the day, tomorrow, when you get to work, meditating on your position. I guarantee you, you will find effortless expression. No more am I going to call out and say, come on guys, we can do it. Worship leaders, come, let me just give you 20 points on how to do things better. Cell leaders, if you feel like it's a drain, it's taxing to get a cell together, I want you to spend your time here. Not thinking about what you're going to do. Because when you spend your time here, renewing your mind about who you are in Christ Jesus, what happens there will happen by accident. Effortless. Worship leaders, to spend time like Robbie did, just, Lord, I'm just spending my time in who you are. Businessmen. Signs and wonders. See, he says, I will confirm my word, which is the gospel, which is position. He says, I will confirm my word with signs and wonders following. And we're looking around saying, why aren't we seeing signs and wonders? Because God's saying, I'll confirm my word. You spend your time meditating on that. You preach that. I'll take care of this. I'll take care of your work situation. I'll take care of when you pray that people will be healed. There'll be breakthrough in families, in homes. Unity. I'll sort that out. You preach that. You live that. You meditate on that. I'll take care of the rest. All I've done today is preach the gospel to you. All I've done is highlighted our position. You have to keep preaching it to yourself. Make effort to just spend time thinking on what He has done for you, who He is as a person. And when you believe it, you cannot help but noticing that the power of the gospel will lead into effortless expression. The power of your position will give in to effortless expression. So don't spend your time wrestling with how-tos. Don't spend your time looking at your family wishing for someone else. Don't spend your time thinking, I'm an usher in the church. I wish there was more reason to my existence here on earth. Because when you spend your time here, when you spend your time here, you'll be so overwhelmed with the gospel, so overwhelmed with the person of Jesus, that you can't help but get to church and someone walks through that door and you want to love them and say, can I find you a seat? Can I help you with a cup of coffee? Can I show you where the kid zone is? That'll happen by accident because inside each and every one of you, there are talents that God has wired together that when you tank yourself up with that, this will just come out by natural. You can't help yourself by getting around kids and loving them. Because everything you're touching is favored by God. Robbie, is Robbie here? Robbie, can you come up? I just want us to just spend some time just together, the last couple of minutes, just spending our time here. Is that all right? I'm not going to ask for you to respond. I'm not going to ask for you to lift up your hands or do anything else. Because it's all about just enjoying Him. Renewing your mind about who He is and what He has done. And He will take care of the rest. That's why Jesus says, don't spend your time worrying about tomorrow. There's enough worries there already. Don't worry about the next thing or the next week or the next year. I've got that under control. Because if you're worrying about this, you haven't settled this. Because when I'm King, when I'm Lord, when you trust me with everything that you have, when you enjoy me, that'll happen on accident. So let's stand together and just spend some time loving our God and giving Him praise and thanks. Lord, for some of people, Lord, have been spending too much time, thinking about, worrying about situation and purpose, Lord. We know that'll happen, Lord, when we spend our time with You. You are altogether lovely. You are love, Lord. Let Your love come down and envelope us, Lord. Minister to hearts that are broken and feel unworthy, Lord. You are good, Lord. Just as Moses cried out for Your glory and You showed him how good You were, he could understand that if You, who is all good and all powerful and all loving, before him, and if You know him by name, tomorrow and the future can only but be blessed. We want to stand this morning, Lord, and just give You glory and love and adore You and give thanks because You are who You are, the great I am, the lover of our souls. When we were unworthy, Lord, You still loved us. You still showed Your goodness towards us. And now You live in us, the hope of glory. Lord of lords, King of kings, lover of our souls.